Hi, hello. We have a special episode of the Dunker Spot coming your way. Ahead of the unrivaled final, we had Miles Ehrlich of the Pull Up with Miles and Owen podcast to join us to talk about recent playoff action, preview tonight's final between the Phantom and the Mist, and discuss a couple of key award decisions. Miles and I both had ballots, so we talked through the MVP award. We also talked through a heavily contested field with the all unrivaled teams. We hope you enjoy. We hope you are excited for tonight's unrivaled final. Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Dunker Spot. We are part of the Yahoo Sports Network. I am your host, Nikias Duncan. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, the always excellent Steve Jones Jr. Steve, how are you doing, sir?
What it do?
Okay, we got the quick intro again from Steve, which means we have a guest, and we do indeed have a guest coming back to the show. We have Miles Ehrlich of the Pull Up with Miles and Owen podcast. Miles, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you guys for having me.
Ah, man, we're going to have a good time. The unrivaled final is tonight, 9:30 Eastern. Excited about that. We're going to preview the game. First, we're going to talk a little bit about what we've seen in the playoffs so far. We're going to go through our awards ballots and the award picks that were announced over the weekend. It's going to be an all-encompassing, unrivaled conversation with our dear pal, Miles. So first, Miles, as we're coming off of the semifinals in Barclays Center, over 18,000 people there, a sold-out crowd. You were in the building. What was the atmosphere like for you before we get into the actual basketball of it all?
It was incredible. And I was lucky enough to go down to Philly last month, so I was able to have that experience and then this one as well. And Philly was so cool. It was such a celebration of a return of professional women's basketball to that city. So I didn't know how that was going to compare. But in Brooklyn now, this is the staple. This is the standard. You fill out Barclays Center during the WNBA season anyway. And it was no difference there on Monday night. There was a pregame event at the local bar, McMahon's, where we always have our postgame media hang. So it was very cool and weird to see Sabrina Ionescu and Nafisa Collier roll through there and them kind of like turn over the bar. Lines around the block for both the bar and for the Barclays Center. Everybody was there, actors, musicians, Olympians, athletes. The entire UConn team who had played at MSG the night before was there. All of the NYU women's team, shout out to my alma mater, who's now won 87 in a row. It was really just such a cool atmosphere of talented supporters of women's basketball and then just fans from every single corner. It's just every team is represented. The love was real. I mean, you guys saw from all the social clips just how loud it was throughout. Weird players getting celebrations during introductions. That was a different vibe, but I loved it so much. And it really just feels like Unrivaled has found a way to harness all the energy of women's basketball in its purest form.
It was incredible to see and to feel the energy that came from Barclays on that night. You felt that, especially even like Kelsey Plum after having that game was like, hey, thank you so much, Brooklyn. Usually y'all boo me. And y'all didn't tonight. Appreciate it. It was just a different kind of feeling. But to celebrate women's basketball in that form was so important. And for like, you know, you saw it in the entryways when they were coming down and high-fiving everyone, walking all the way down the Barclays Center. Like, it was just a great time. And I think that's what is most important. Like, Unrivaled has arrived at such a place where these women are being celebrated the way they should be because of the talents that they are.
Like, I think it's one of those things where the energy kind of showed, it came through the TV, you know what I mean? So I'd imagine for you, Miles, being in the building, like feeling the crowd and feeling that energy and seeing all the different jerseys and things, like it was a different level of special for you. And I think it's a testament to, as you both kind of said, like how much women's basketball has grown, how much love there is for women's basketball as a concept, how much the league and the fanfare around it has grown. And like for them to pull off the Barclays thing in what, 3 weeks? Really? Yep. Because you got the Philadelphia games like, well, this was historic. This was amazing. Marina Mabry scores all of the points and just shuts things down in the first quarter and things. And then it's like, yeah, Stewie's kind of teasing things on Threads and Twitter. Like, hey, I got a secret for y'all. And it's like, oh, actually, we're going to do a playoff game. And to pull that off in short order, and to your point, Miles, like the standard is held with what is already shown during Liberty games. Like, oh, no, we treat this. This is a playoff game, too. Like, we are here for all this. Like, it was fun to see, fun to witness. And that kind of dovetails into the actual semifinals matchups. First, before we get there, we had the Saturday playoff games, the first round. The final, pulling off the upset against the Laces, 82-69. Ryan Howard drops 30 in that one. The Breeze knocking out MVP Chelsea Gray and the Rose, 69-50 in that game. Paige with 29 in that one. Chelsea didn't have her best shooting performance, which, if you zoom out, that is what now? 0-6 for the Rose when Chelsea Gray does not score at least 20 points, which once again hammers home just how valuable she was this year. We're going to talk about award stuff a little bit later. But that sets up the Monday matchups. The first game, as Steve already alluded to, Kelsey Plum, like, hey, thanks for the cheers. Y'all normally boo me when I am a member of the Las Vegas Aces or now most recently the Los Angeles Sparks. But the Phantom with an 83-75 win over the Vinyl. No Aaliyah Boston in this one. We're not going to have Aaliyah Boston in the championship game as well. She's dealing with a right lower extremity injury. I think it's an ankle tweak. Team USA camp later this week. So thanks a little bit of maintenance there. But either way, no Aaliyah Boston, no problem in this one. Miles, I'll start with you. What was your biggest takeaway or your biggest takeaways from this matchup?
Well, my biggest takeaways from both matchups in general was just we got the two games that we really deserved of this playoff, and that's a testament to the league as a whole. But from this first one, Kelsey Plum continuing what she's done all season. And I think that it's awesome to see also with the absence of Aaliyah Boston, because the two of them in conjunction have been so strong all season. But I think, like, to see her on this stage and, like you said, soaking in that moment, but also in tandem with Natasha Cloud, who just was everywhere and just was a beast and was so comfortable playing at home and getting those defensive stops. And there were points where I was like, you are going to tire yourself out celebrating between these stops. It's not even the running up and down the court. It's how you're screaming to the crowd after every whistle. But this team is a lot of fun. And to be able to still pull that off, that game was so back and forth. And I feel like it turned at the last 3 minutes or so of the third quarter. And Vinyl had a substantial lead. They were up, what, 7 or something like that midway through the third, and then it flipped. So I think just their resilience is something that we've seen all season long. Shout out to the big stepping up. Kiki, every time that Aaliyah has been out of a game, whether it's a late foul out or something like that, she's made a huge play for them. So her being in a bigger role, picking up Mikayla Timpson, Zaza James having the opportunity, Tip Hayes just knocking down big shots. It really was a complete team effort. And that's what we've seen from this Phantom team throughout the season. And that's why they've been at the top of the standings, near the top of the standings throughout.
Hell yeah, Miles. Hell yeah, Miles. Mikai is trying to run a play and throw it to you first. No, Kelsey Plum did what she needed to do. That's what happened. She saw Chelsea Gray get that MVP. She looked at the commentary desk, saw who was doing commentary, and decided to lock in 8 of the first 10 points. That's me. I'm doing that. That's on me. And I think what was interesting was the back and forth as far as Kelsey being able to find different ways to create space, create different opportunities offensively, to play make, to decelerate in the paint, to finish, and then also add in the playmaking. Like, I thought Kiki Irifin's effort was very huge because the post-ups were there, the seals were there, and you remember it's 3-on-3, so there's space. So KP was able to kind of hit those post-entry passes to get it over the top. And the finishing, you know, sometimes it was up and down, but, like, they had that tandem going. Natasha Cloud, would you like to be a big since we don't have Aaliyah Boston? You can go ahead and play. We'll play small. It's no problem. And I think to Miles' point, that third quarter run they had was huge because the Vinyl – you know, they have size, they have length, they can bother you. And, you know, while they can grind sometimes offensively, hey, if we're grinding, you're grinding as well. So they kind of were in a position, especially when you think about the unrivaled format, right? The first three quarters are so important. That fourth quarter target score becomes key, especially for a team like, let's say, the Vinyl, the Hive, even the Mist, Breeze even, where, okay, we are maybe not having our best offensive game, but we're defending, and now we are even going into this fourth quarter, it becomes a different story. The Phantom being able to kind of go from being at a deficit to being up 5, 6, 7 going into the fourth quarter was really important for them because now you see a position where, okay, Vinyl, you have to score. There's no other option. We only have to get so many buckets. You now have to score. We're putting more pressure on your half court. But it was just such a great back and forth battle. And salute to the Vinyl for the battle they gave. You know, Derek Hamby, Ray Burrell, Ryan Howard, Erica Wheeler. You're having to kind of navigate size, length. You're having to defend people who can get downhill and drive. It got interesting. I think you've learned a lot about the dog inside of the Phantom in that semifinal.
Yeah, a lot of dog up and down that roster. I think first to the Kelce Plum portion. Just a phenomenal
game for her. Yeah, say it. Say it louder, yeah.
Oh, brother. Phenomenal game for Kelce Plum. But as you mentioned, the early 8 points out of 10, she had 18 in that first half, I believe. But, like, the way that she had to deal with the amount of length that she did, Ryan Howard gets the assignment sometimes. Ray Burrell gets the assignment sometimes. You run a ball screen with Kelce Plum. Hey, we are keeping you to your right hand. We are icing all of these. Have fun dealing with multiple 6-2 players in this. You don't have the space you think you do. If you do drive deep enough, we're now turning this into a late switch, so you have to deal with another 6-2 or 6-3 person, and you got to create an advantage all over again. And so for her to kind of nail the scoring portion of the program, also find the playmaking reads, being able to hit some of those pocket passes, being able to hit some of the, kind of just the chest passes in tiny windows, I think was very impressive from Kelce Plum. And then once you get into the self-creation, Steve, you already mentioned the entry passing on top of that. It was just an all-around very good effort. Natasha Cloud was fantastic, particularly in that second half. And, like, the amount of plays that she made as a driver and especially as a defender, like, there was one possession in the third quarter where Phantom gets vinyl late in the clock, ball's at the top of the key. Tiffany Hayes comes in with extra help. Felt like an overhelp to me. And I'm just like, ooh, I don't love that. Why did you open up a play? You had this possession boxed. Passes being attempted to be made. Natasha Cloud shoots from the corner, deflects it, saves it from going out of bounds, and it's a perfect lead pass to Tiffany Hayes for a fast break layup. But it's just like, you can't really scheme for that. You can't teach those kind of instincts. You can't teach that kind of heart. To Miles' point, Natasha Cloud celebrating after just about everything. Defensive plays, any kind of stop she got. The and one late in the third quarter where she is screaming at literally everyone. Just like, yeah, you can't give Natasha Cloud a home game. Like, she's already a super competitor to begin with. Now you have the Barclays crowd behind her. Like, that's just going to be too much. And as you kind of alluded to, the game flipping in that third. With 4:41 left in the third quarter, Vinyl, great start to the third quarter. Felt like, oh, they're about to blow this open. Phantom can't get shots going. Kelce Plum had the hot first half. She hadn't scored within the first 2 or 3 minutes of that quarter. It's 57-48. By the end of the third quarter, Phantom leads 71-64. It's a 23-7 sprint from there with everyone making big plays. Kiki made plays. Natasha Cloud made plays. Tiffany Hayes made big shots, big drives. I already talked about Kelce Plum. She heated up towards the end of that quarter. And, like, getting good stuff from the reserves. Like, it was just a very, as you've already said, an all-around effort there. So, oh boy, what a game. The second game of the night, we got Mist, we got Breeze, we got the UConn contingent being represented between Paige Beckers and Brianna Stewart. And it felt like the Breeze were going to get the Mist out of there very early on. It was a 16-2 run to start the game for the Breeze. I'm just like, oh.
yes, it did. And maybe, Miles, you can speak to what it felt like in the building, but the Breeze were on something else. They were absurdly locked in. And for me, it felt like ever since Paige lost that one-on-one matchup to Chelsea Gray, she'd been on demon time. And that Breeze team said, you know what? Not only are you not going to be able to score, we're going to keep scoring, and you have to deal with us. And so were you surprised, Miles, by that start from the Breeze to just kind of just send a message to the Mist and be like, hey, no, not only are we here, we're staying. Like, this is our house to a degree.
Oh, absolutely. It was shocking. You don't see Brianna Stewart go down 16-2 at the Barclays Center. That just is not something that happens. And then next to that, it also doesn't happen that the energy doesn't dip from the crowd when you do get that result because of so much UConn faithful that was in the building. I said the entire team was there. The loudest cheer of the night, I think, went when they showed AZ Fudd on the Jumbotron. And so there was a lot of UConn love there. So Paige was feeling that. And it was the dream start for the Breeze because I think they started something like 7 or 8 of 10 versus 0 of 10 on the other side. And Brianna Stewart was 0 for 5 with 3 fouls just a couple of minutes into that game. And then you start thinking, okay, how do you respond here if you're Zach O'Brien? Like, can you take Stewie off the floor if you're going to grind back into this game? And for it to be a 6-point game at halftime, I think that it was the resilience in that second quarter that made all of this even possible, because it was very, 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 very likely that they could just be run out of the building with how much confidence we were seeing the Breeze play with. And just shout out to Dominique Malunga and the effort that she was making, especially in that first half, but like the efficiency in which she was able to get to her spots and finish. There were two or three times that it looked like she was going to dunk in the open court. I don't know if I've ever seen Stewie give a foul just so she doesn't get dunked on. That's not something I think she's dealt with much in her life. So it was just a really, really fun start to that game. And it set up just a fantastic, ridiculous ending that could not have been scripted any better for the fans that were there supporting Breanna Stewart specifically and unrivaled as a whole.
Yeah, like I think for me, like not only is it the 16-2 star, and as you mentioned, the foul trouble for Stewie, it was the fact that Stewie didn't have it going and Alicia Gray didn't have it going. Like they have been such a dynamic duo. And as you think about just their overall starting lineup with those two plus Veronica Burton, like they were the best trio in Unrivaled by a very wide margin. And by wide margin, I mean they won their minutes by over 130 points during the regular season, and nobody else, no other three-player lineup had a plus minus over 100. Like it was a gap, a monstrous one. And so for the Breeze to be like, actually, we don't care about any of that. Like we have length all over the place. You mentioned Dominique Malanga, Paige Becker's defending well. Rekia Jackson, who, one, just shout out to Rekia Jackson as a concept, but to the basketball specifically, Noel Quinn has challenged her this year. Like, yeah, you have size. You are known for your scoring. We're going to see the three ball continue to develop. We know you can bully folks. You're walking mismatch. No, we're going to make you get after it defensively. Like, you're going to take on the Chelsea Gray assignment during our regular season matchups and also when we have this playoff game. Like, you are going to defend. We're going to use your length as a weapon so we can switch a little bit easier. We can just collapse space in ball screen actions and things. And so, like, seeing her once again defending her tail off, it's like, hey, man, we don't really have pockets, and something that Steve has brought up throughout the regular season. Like, hey, the Mists are good. They do have these lulls where they don't score consistently. And like, what does that look like? And the first quarter of that game was a very loud example of, if we don't have advantages to pick at, to draw to, and if the jumpers aren't going, they largely weren't, this can get hazy for us, and it can get hazy for us incredibly quickly. So to your point, Miles, to be able to battle back in that second quarter spoke a lot to the heart of the team, being able to reel in, get some stops, get some transition looks, finally get some stuff going with ball screens and some drives. And then the second half happens and the fourth quarter happens. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, you mentioned the lineups. You talked about the missed versatility. Throw the spreadsheets away. Arike Ogunbowale and Alana Smith saved the missed life. Arike came in and said, you know what? We're not scoring. Guess who does that? Me. That's what I do. Let's run some pick and roll. Someone's going to pay attention to me. Let me make some shots. Let me get some buckets and get going. And they kind of just did that throughout their minutes in this game. And I thought, you know, I think you have to give a salute. I know Miles will say it to Arike for not just embracing this role, but like, I don't think we give Arike enough credit for being that level of a bucket getter, for being that consistent of a scorer. That takes a level of skill. It takes a level of craft. It's a high responsibility. It's easy to kind of say, oh, well, you know, we're not doing this, this, and that. Well, do you understand what Arike has to do every single night with a defense that's locked in on what she does? No, you don't. So she's getting buckets. She's finding a way to provide energy. She could score consistently. And Alana Smith, it's real easy to talk about, oh, Alana Smith is not this level of a defender. That's not true. And you should watch Alana Smith play defense because she is one of the most consistent, not when it comes to effort, but just rotations, being in the right position, just knowing what she's supposed to do and doing it every single time. You're not going to find a defender who does that more than Alana Smith. There's not many on the list that do it more than Alana Smith. And their ability to kind of contribute on both ends of the floor is a big reason why they were able to kind of help the Mist go over the top. They brought that compete level up. You know, you start the lineup, you start the game out, it's not great. And now you look up and it's Arike on the court in the first quarter. It's Alana Smith on the court, and it's Veronica Burton. It's like, you know what? Get after it. And then they just kind of flowed into let's compete, let's figure out how to fight. And, you know, the Breeze, my young Breeze, love the Breeze. They acquitted themselves well, but couldn't get it done. You know, shout out to Cam Brink, who decided, hey, Stewie, guess what you're not going to do when you come into the paint? You're not going to score because I'm going to rotate. And even if I fall backwards, my hand will be on the basketball. That's not a problem. So shout out to both teams. My two favorite teams in the run.
That's what I wanted to get to before we transition to the final. The defense that was played in that second half, and particularly that fourth quarter, was absurd. That they Arike dialed in. Breanna Stewart ends the game with, what, I think six stocks in the game, two steals and four blocks. but like many other plays that she just disrupted with her presence and with her length. You mentioned already Steve Cambrink. The rim protection that we saw from her was absurd. A friend of the program, Siobhan Beslow, was tweeting about it during the games. Like, she has a stronger core than you think when you just kind of look at the frame. Like, she's absorbing contact. She's hitting the deck, but she's hitting the ball first and then yelling in your general direction afterwards. You don't want to get teed up in key moments, things like that. But she's amped throughout this whole thing. And on the other end, it's Stewie. Like, okay, that's nice, Cam. Or that's not, who's driving into the basket now? Absolutely not. Here is the insane wingspan that I have. Here's the timing that I have. We're now jump-starting transition opportunities. And for it to end the way that it did, huge comeback. Last thing I would add, I chuckled, like, yeah, when we get timeouts, particularly in the fourth quarter, like, we get to see sometimes the coaches kind of talking through, this is what we want. Sometimes we get to see the board. Sometimes we don't. I did chuckle at Zach O'Brien being like, hey, so this is where we are. This is what we're going to run. Like, we don't need a three, but you can take one if it's there. And then the final possession is Arike taking off-balance three, miss, offensive rebound. Arike relocates. Jab, go to her left. Dominique Malanga, poor Dom, hits the deck. Arike knocks down the shot. It's like, well, no, probably didn't need a three. You got it anyway. There's the game. So but once someone like Arike has it going, like, I am going for the kill shot, she was able to do so. So phenomenal game, phenomenal fourth quarter. And that sets up Fanta versus. Wait,
can I respond to that real quick? Can I just respond to that?
Yeah,
real quick?
Miles. Because yeah, Miles. We,
everybody on Media Row, we're it's 70-69, and the Mists had come back in that game with this too big and Arike lineup, and they needed a three to win it. And all of us were like, okay, we know what the play is. We know that it's even though Lan had just had a big shot. We've seen Stewie struggle from three. They came all the way back. They are gassed. You're talking about Stewie leaving it all out there against Cam Brink and Dominique Malanga. And like, is one of those games where Stewie just refuses to lose. We see that a couple of times every year. But we're like, all right, the play is Arike is shooting a three. Everyone in this building must know it. And then it's the relocation after the offensive rebound. And then Stewie kind of fakes that little back door. How many weird angle layups did she have to take and make in that game just because of the length that was on the other side? On the other side, and that almost helps with the relocation, the little extra beat that Arike is able to get there. But we knew that shot was going up, and then once it was a second chance at it, like you said, poor Dom, that's a bad spot to be in. You're just trying to get a hand up there, but perfect. The symmetry of also it being Arike's birthday and getting to celebrate on that court, and Stewie said after the game, is like, that was her birthday present to us, was knocking down that shot. I was not surprised at who had the ball in her hands in the final seconds, and she earned it. Like Steve said, the resilience we saw from Arike, who I don't know if really ever in her life she's been asked to come off the bench before. So like the complete buy-in and the fact that like this is such a strong two-way roster, so that when she's put in there, she's able to just worry about her assignment because you know that you've got Land behind you. You know you've got Stewie behind you. You know you've got VB. You've got Leash. You've got so many talented players that like you can lock in. You can overplay. You can just play your heart out on defense, knowing that you've got your assignment. And then at the other end, when the ball's in your hand, you can just do what you do. And that's what we saw at the end there.
Yeah, huge close to the season for Arike off the bench, and then starts the playoffs with a bang and ends that game with the bang. But that sets up the finals, friends. Phantom versus Mist. The Phantom did win the regular season series 2-0, a 64-61 win on January 12th, an 83-71 win on February 7th. Now, to that point, Aaliyah Boston, a double-double in the first game, 18-8-4 with three stocks in the second game. She is not going to be available for this one. The Mist were also tinkering with lineups early in the year. Alicia Gray came off the bench in that first game, had an efficient scoring game off the bench there. Second game, I think 1 of 11 from the field. This is one of the rare times we saw her not score at an efficient rate. So, like, only so much you could take from a 2-game sample during the regular season when these lineups are going to look different, the rotation is going to look different. And so, Steve, I'll start with you. Like, what are some of the big picture, what are you looking for in this matchup? What are going to be some of the key deciding factors for you?
I think it's going to be interesting to see how the start goes. Can the Mist establish themselves offensively at the beginning of this game? Can they kind of dictate some tempo, get a rhythm going? Can they get Alicia Gray having a better game? Can Veronica Burton get downhill? You know, can Stewie kind of establish the tone? I think scoring for them is going to be important early. It's going to be interesting to see how the Phantom start, because I think this is probably where you miss Aaliyah Boston the most. because when in those other matchups, Stewie had to deal with Aaliyah Boston on both ends of the floor, right? Defensive player of the year for a reason. But hey, you got to deal with me setting screens, rolling, posting up. It's one thing. Like Veronica Burton and Kelsey Plum is going to be a very fun matchup, but I think Kelsey Plum's going to feel comfortable because, like, hey, you're not, you don't, you know, as much as you were going to pressure me, you don't have the size that I've had to deal with. The key factor is going to be, can Kiki Irifin kind of do some good things at the start? And then how do the Phantom deal when they go small against this missed team that is big but versatile? So this missed team can defend. They have multiple lineups that can do different things. We don't even see a world where the missed can go small. They may not even have to go small. It's just Stewie, defend someone who's a wing, and then we'll figure out whether two people need to be out there. So it gets really tricky. So I think for the Phantom, it's going to be about, you know, dictating tempo to a degree, attacking, playing with confidence. For the Mist, you got to score the basketball early, and then you can start to dictate terms defensively. It'll be a good back and forth battle.
Got you. Miles, what are you kind of looking for in this matchup?
Yeah, I'm with Steve on so much of this. And I think that a big thing is going to be, can Kelsey Plum just continue to do what we've seen all season out of her? Because they're going to need to lean on her even more. The loss of Aaliyah Boston being one of the best players in this league throughout the entire season is a big one, especially just in terms of being able to throw size at Stewie and Lan on the other end, because they're a little bit, even though they're perennial, you know, all WNBA players, they're not the biggest players, and you can get them exhausted, especially in this format where they're sprinting up and down the court nonstop. And maybe young legs will help that with Kiki and with Michaela, but that'll just keep them on their toes a little bit. But that's where I think that, like, this matchup might turn compared to the first two. Obviously, it's easy to say you're losing one of the best players in the league. How do you overcome that? But it's that Phantom just never says die. I think that Miss needs to keep that in their minds. What if Zach O'Brien decides to go back to this two big lineup, though? I think that's something that is going to be really interesting to me, because we saw at the end of that semifinal game that the Breeze, Noelle Quinn's lineups were basically dictated for her at a point in that fourth quarter run because she had to counter. And now that could be the biggest spot that you're missing Aaliyah Boston is, what do you do if you have both Lan and Stewie out there at the same time? So lots of options on one end, and how can you counter the other way? And the way might be just how much shooting variance there can be based on all of the shooters that Phantom can deploy. If Tip Hayes is able to continue to knock down a couple of big ones, because it seems like the bigger the moment gets, the deeper she's shooting from, and she's never touching the rim. Same thing with Kelsey Plum. She just, if you let her get in a rhythm, if she sees one go, she's going to see five go in a row. Tosh knocks down threes in this format too. Isaiah James has not been shy at all whenever she has the opportunity to shoot from deep. So there is a lot of just range talent here, and maybe that's how you counter some of that size, is just shoot over the top.
Yeah, like, I think the jump shooting, again, to Steve's point, throughout the regular season has kind of been the thing that you put the magnifying glass closest to when it comes to the Mist. And in these two matchups, again, the Phantom won the regular season series 2-0. The Mist went a combined 6 of 34 from three in those two matchups. Now, do I think that's the level of shooting talent that the Mist have? Like, absolutely not. Arike by herself would disagree with that, of course. But to your various point, Miles, we have seen in these matchups, like, it can get kind of cold. The Phantom are a good defensive team in their own right. Even without Aaliyah, there is still just a level of ball pressure and versatility they can get to. And so if the Mist have one of those shooting nights, that does open the door. One thing I want to touch on during the semifinals matchup, with the Phantom going as small as they did, with Kelsey Plum and Natasha Cloud, they just went pretty much guard full with that group. That was the first time all season that they went with Tiffany Hayes, Natasha Cloud, and Kelsey Plum. 7 minutes, pretty much played to a standstill. If they have to go that small, how many threes do they hit? If they are matching up against Breanna Stewart or Lan Smith, to your point, the two big lineup, like, how do they match up there? Are you putting Stewie on Natasha Cloud in that lineup? Are you putting Stewie on Tiffany Hayes, since you mentioned three-point shooting, but she is willing to drive to the basket. She's going to hit the deck a lot. Well, I'm curious to see, like, how referees are going to, how are they going to officiate these drives in this game? Cause both teams can get downhill with a level of regularity. So that part's going to be interesting. And, like, if the Mist decide to go small, we have seen exactly 1 minute of Arike Ogunbowale, Veronica Burton, and Alicia Gray this year. So, like, if Zach O'Brien wants to bust that out, this would literally be the time to do so if they want to match the smaller group. So I'm curious to see what that part's going to look like. I am fascinated by this matchup. Do we have predictions before we quickly run through the awards?
I mean, I'll say that I'm leaning Mist here. even though the season series went the other way, I just think that coming off of what we saw last game and just the fact that they're healthy going into this best of one matchup, clean slate, I'm leaning towards them. Just Stewie's kind of on a little bit of a revenge tour of her own after not hitting the mark she wanted to in season one, getting blanked in the one-on-one, not making the playoffs the first time around. This is a big chance to kind of come back and hold it down for the owners with the co-founders with Fee out for the season.
Oh, there we go. Let's do Steve. You have in this one.
It's hard to deny the Mist have size. They have versatility. They have depth. They are really tough to deal with on both sides of the floor. They've been a very complete team all season. But Miles and Nekias, you both can see me right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see me now?
Oh, I see what's going on here.
I've disappeared. All right. And that's because the Phantom are going to win, baby. Don't underrate the dog inside the Phantom. Kelsey Plum is the real MVP, and she will once again display it tonight. The Phantom win.
Oh, my. Okay, I love the presentation here. I am more so inclined. I'm probably more with Miles, like, because the Mist are healthier, because they can throw out more size, because they can throw out a little bit more defense with them being healthier. You're missing Defensive Player of the Year, Leah Boston. Like, it feels like they should be favored here. But Steve, you're absolutely right. You cannot count them out. I think your point about Kelsey Plum not seeing the same amount of size, even if, like, do I think Veronica Burton in a vacuum is a better on-ball defender than Ray Burrell? Like, yes. But Veronica Burton is guard size. Ray Burrell is 6'2". Like, if Kelsey Plum is able to dictate turns a little bit easier, it does get hazy. And then that can lead into, like, the three-point shooting variance that Miles is pitching. So I'm going to say Mist. I'm probably like 53-47 Mist win this game. I'm just excited to see what this one's going to look like, though. Okay, before we get out of here, Miles, I wanted to ask you about the awards. They were announced over the weekend, and then we got the MVP announcement ahead of the semifinals matchup. So, quickly, the MVP was Chelsea Gray. The Defensive Player of the Year was Aaliyah Boston. Coach of the Year was Renika Hodges of the Phantom. Your all-unrivaled first team, Chelsea Gray, Paige Beckers, and Kelsey Plum. Your all-unrivaled second team, Alicia Gray, Aaliyah Boston, and Brittany Sykes. I wanted to ask you specifically about MVP and the all-unrivaled team. So, first, with MVP, because I think you were also an award voter this year. Was Chelsea Gray your MVP? What did your ballot look like? What was kind of the conversation you were having with yourself to try to figure out how am I going to vote with this thing?
Until the final minute, I was down to between Chelsea Gray and Aaliyah Boston. So actually, Aaliyah didn't even make first team, but just in terms of her two-way impact and the growth that we had seen, I could talk about Aaliyah all day, but about Chelsea. Chelsea, the amount of offense that she generated from with efficiency, and that was scoring, that was as a playmaker, that was in drawing just the defense in, it was hard to overcome. The hard part, the difficult part about that was, how do I measure statistical success, team success, versus individual just dominance? And that was what we saw consistently throughout the season from Chelsea. And as you alluded to, in the few times that she wasn't dropping 20 points a game, Rose just couldn't hang at all. And it just came down to, okay, if I'm looking for who is most valuable, she has shown that every time that she has the opportunity to put the team on her back, and she does, they walk out of there as the better team. And the numbers, the efficiency was hard to overcome. So that's where I landed with Chelsea. But I know that that could splinter off to 1,000 different ways for people based on what you're valuing in that specific category.
Understood. Steve, were you okay with the Chelsea pick?
I think it makes sense. Chelsea Gray had such a massive impact for the Rose, and they needed what she did every single night, not just as far as the scoring goes, the playmaking. And so it's not something where I'm like, ooh, this is a bad choice. Chelsea Gray did it every single night, and despite the record, if Chelsea Gray wasn't at that level, where do you think the Rose would have been? So I can understand that. I think it's a really good and fun thought bubble, because basketball is subjective. It's 3-on-3. There's different things that are impactful to different people. And so is it the scoring? Is it the winning? Is it the playmaking? Is it the defense? Is it what do you put into what box? I think that's what gets fun, especially when you look at some of these first teams, these second teams. How did you measure or feel about a player's season based on what they did? Was it the consistency of what they did? Was it the impact for their team? Was it the environment they were in? Like, I think it gets into a lot of different boxes, but I had no problem with Chelsea. Great. Now, I did, you know, I did say Kelsey Plum was a real MVP. So, you know, that's how I felt, but Chelsea Green was disturbing.
Yeah, Chelsea Gray was fantastic. My ballot was Aaliyah Boston, Breanna Stewart, and Chelsea Gray. And Chelsea was my toughest person to kind of suss through. I knew she was going to be in my top three. I think you could argue her as the winner. She ultimately won because we'll just say, like, when she was not superhuman, not only did they lose, they largely didn't have a chance in the games in which she was not superhuman. And so, like, that is a very loud signal of value. Like, that we need everything that she is giving us. And she's given us a lot while also having, like, 67 true shooting on top of that. Like, the efficiency was absurd. Was the best three-point shooter in the league this year with volume. Like, it was insane what she was able to do. And defensively, I'll switch on to a big. I'm going to flash the Chelsea hands. I'm going to get these deflections. Like, I still held up my end of the bargain, at least on the interior. So, firm pick there. As we get into these all unrivaled teams.
What I was going to say, I was going to throw it to the voters, right? I wanted to throw it to Nekias and Miles. Miles, you could start, but like, how did you work through the six names for these two all-unrivaled teams? I think we could all agree it was going to be some combination of Chelsea Gray, Paige, Kelsey, and Aaliyah Boston were locked in. Four of the six spots you felt pretty good about. How did you navigate trying to figure out, okay, who are the other two names? How do I figure this out? Who do I put where? Because it's not easy to do that, but because there's a lot of talented players having talented seasons.
Yeah, I think that I'm with you that those were the four names, and that the only team that got two-player representation was Aaliyah Boston and Kelsey Plum of the Phantom. And that was something that I spent a lot of time on because those two were undeniable. But my hardest cuts, I had Chelsea Gray, Aaliyah Boston, and Paige Beckers for first team. And then I had Kelsey Plum, Breanna Stewart, and Aaliyah Edwards for second team. That made Slim, that made Leash, that made Marina Mabry some of my toughest cuts because I was just trying to spread the love a little bit for these teams. It's really hard to do. This is a small sample when we're only getting 14 games and everyone is putting up numbers at the pace that they're playing at. But for me, it came down to Aaliyah versus KP first team as the two Phantom teammates. And the pick and roll game between those two, I just wanted to give a shout out to how far we've seen Aaliyah come in the last two W seasons, especially, but just last year in Unrivaled, she hit double figures just three times in 13 games that she played last season. And for her to just be top three in rebounds, up there in scoring, leading the league in stocks, this is a format that she really embraced this year. And we saw her, I think a lot of it coming out of college is that she was already had elite footwork. And it was figuring out the game speed for when she was put into these pick and roll actions, figuring out what she's supposed to do in that short role. And we saw her learn on the fly as, you know, in the 2024 season, as the Fever really struggled out of the jump and she was being put into positions that she was not used to see where she's at now, and especially able to operate in space. I think that the leap we saw from her and just the two end dominance is why that was the tiebreaker for me. But I am totally with you where Kelsey is just a game breaker. And her deceleration is some of the best we've ever seen. And that in the room that she's had to operate in Unrivaled, just putting defenders onto mixtapes like throughout the entire season when she just stops on a dime. I have no fault on anyone who's got Kelsey at the top of that, let alone first team. But yeah, it was an interesting difference from voting for this for 3-3 instead of for voting the 5-5 that you might on the W side.
Yeah, I think for me, like, and Steve and I have had this conversation quite a few times talking about award stuff across the two leagues, or I guess technically the three leagues now, you factor in Unrivaled, to where for MVP, I am factoring in the winning a lot more. Like, I think that is tied into the impact. And that's also a reason why, like, Chelsea was lower on the ballot for me versus, like, just what she did individually. For the all-league teams, all-NBA, all-WNBA, all-Unrivaled, it's more so, like, how good were you? And so that's where I still had the same first team, but that's where I'm still adding in, like, Alicia Gray was on my second team, Kelsey Plum was on my second team, Paige Becker was on my second team, because I still had Aaliyah Boston, who was my MVP pick, so seeing her on the second team is a little bit funny to me. But either way, Aaliyah Boston was my MVP, Breanna Stewart on that first team with her two-way impact. and Chelsea Gray was on their first team as well. I struggled with what to do with Marina Mabry and Aaliyah Edwards because I think they were both phenomenal individually. And like Marina in particular, with her being on the ball as much as she was, seeing teams like we're putting two on the ball against you all the time, make these reads, and to see how much more comfortable she got as the season went on was impressive. And then you just kind of look at their cases overall. Like, yeah, the Lunar Owls missed the playoffs. Off rip, you are missing Nafisa Collier, who is not only the best player on your team, she is arguably the best player in unrivaled, period. So you're missing that. Start the season, you also don't have Skylar Diggins for the first couple of games. Like, okay, well, that's also a change, and defenses get to lock in more. And then when Skylar comes back, she's coming off the bench for a little bit as she regains her rhythm and stamina and things like that. So it's like, okay, we still have to adjust to all of this. So I don't begrudge anyone that had either one or both of those players on their team. I think, as you said, you had Aaliyah Edwards on yours. It's just for me, like, I looked at individual excellence. I wanted two-way impact. I wanted, like, usage. Like, that was probably the biggest thing that had, like, Brittany Sykes was my toughest cut, and she ended up making the actual second team, where she did a lot for a Laces team. But, like, it was kind of between, like, her and, like, Paige for me on the second team. And I'm just like, well, Paige, she wasn't as good of a defender as Brittany Sykes was, but she was a solid one. And offensively, she just had so much more on her plate, in my opinion. While, again, the youngest roster in the league around her on top of that. And so it was just kind of tough to balance that. But I factored into winning a little bit less. It was more so how good were you? What was the efficiency? What was your usage? Those kind of things for the all-in rival teams.
And just quickly, it's interesting because me and Nikias, we talked about Brittany Sykes. It's a name I had brought up when you talked about your ballot. And I was like, I don't know if the Laces are who they are without Brittany Sykes competing on both ends of the floor to the level that she did. I don't, you know, the individual excellence of Aaliyah Edwards, Marina Mabry for the Lunar Owls in a tough spot they're in, I don't know how you value or measure that. And then I think the Alicia Gray portion is interesting because, hey, the Miss team that needed baskets early in the season, guess who provided a lot of those at times? It was Alicia Gray. And so part of their success was her ability to just kind of have that kind of high impact for that team. So the reason why I want to ask that question is because it's a tough spot to be in because basketball is subjective, a lot of great players doing great things, and you have to kind of dictate and understand and express what you value at a high level. And so I'm glad, thank you both for kind of just peeling the curtain back a little bit.
Well, when you say value, sure. Like, how do you value the Lunar Owls? How many times in the first half of the season did we see the graphic where it was like Marina Mabry, Aaliyah Edwards, 55 points, the rest of the team, 6 points? That's how you value it. They were just nothing without those two players until Skyota came back. And it was hard to leave either of them off.
Yeah, it got tough. All right, last question for you, Miles, officially before we get out of here. Where can the people find you? Where can the people find your work? What you got coming out?
I am at Miles Ehrlich on Twitter, where I will be live tweeting Liberty post-game pressers all the time and just putting out content there. And I am the co-host of Pull Up with Miles and Owen, a podcast with my good friend Owen Pence. And we have player conversations, media conversations, people around the W. We just kind of try to do holistic storytelling to build out the space and help a little bit get just a full picture of what's going on around women's basketball. And we're putting out episodes weekly. We got one drop in today. So after you listen to this, go listen to that one with Sydney Colson, yeah. One of our favorites.
Let's go.
We need that. We need that. All right. Well, thank you, Miles, for rocking with us. Steve, thank you for rocking with me. And thank you for listening to and or watching this episode of The Dunker Spot. If you haven't already, please subscribe. We're on Apple, Spotify, RIP Google, Stitcher, Podbean, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us. Subscribe to the Sports YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Yahoo NBA YouTube channel. You can catch me on socials at KaiusNBA. You can catch Steve on socials at SteveJones20. And with that, we will catch y'all later in the week.